Al had asked me if I wanted to introduce Ed, and I said, yes, I do. Some of you may remember Ed. He was with us, actually, Al told us tonight, 10 years ago. And when he left after that service, we all called him John the Baptist, because he, as you will see, is a passionate preacher. But Ron and I had the honor and the great pleasure to see Ed come from a farmer in his overalls at age 17 to be the man of God that he is today. And the Lord has taken him on quite a journey, and Ron really considered him one of his sons. And we both love them dearly. But Ron was always so blessed every time he got to spend time with Ed and Cheryl, as I am still, because he loved hearing the many things that God was doing, not only in him, but through him. And so we're in for a treat tonight as Ed comes and shares what's on his heart. So please give him a warm welcome.
Wow. I always get my notes out. I'm not sure it matters after a while. You know, it's just kind of one of those things. And, you know, it's a... I have written at the top of my paper here, Manitou, right? Or Manitou. How do you say the road out here? Manitou, yeah. And I have that written at the top of my paper. And as I was trying to just get a visual, I had been here before... last October, I think, but I just want to get a visual of the building again, and I don't know, I'm a visual guy. I see things in pictures. Comic books are much more readily available to me, you know, because there's more pictures than words. And so I'm looking at the picture of this building, and on Manitou, is that right, Manitou, I'll remember that, Manitou. And as I come down into the street view, which you can on Google Earth, right? I kind of like that. Kind of like all of a sudden you just punch it in, zzzz, boom, and it kind of spreads things out. Then you can come down to the street view where you can see things. And I found it interesting that the first thing I saw from Manitou was a sign that said victory. And I thought it was interesting because I was looking for the shepherd's heart. And so, and then I said, I'm a curious guy, so I said, what does Manitou mean? And so I started to research, and maybe you know what Manitou means, but it's a Native American concept that means the supernatural permeates the natural. Yeah, so you drove here on the concept that the supernatural permeates the natural through victory right into the shepherd's heart. I just think that's cool. You know? Yeah, yes, that's not even on the notes. That's just the title. So, but I was really, once I learned all that, and it was like, wow, I want to go to the shepherd's heart, because I think it works in reverse too. When I'm at the shepherd's heart, victory awaits, and he'll permeate everything I do in this world. And I'll be the hands and the feet of Christ. How about it? We are the church. Holy smokes, we're the church. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. Wow. I better stick with the notes or we'll be here till morning. That's right. We're just going to come on in. What is that? That's the Victory Church, right? Come on in. We just join right in with what's going on. So I am happy to be here. And I am a product of the prayers of three major people. And first being my wife, who prayed for me for 10 years that I would have this spiritual awakening in God. And as Ron showed up on our farm to hunt in northern Pennsylvania, right across the border, and soon to follow Al, she found out that he was a prayer warrior too, and he carried the prayers of her to the Lord too, and brought them back to Rochester. And for many, many years, they prayed for me, and my wife and my girls both knew the Lord. In 1996, the Lord just captivated my heart, and And that, the one thing I really wanted to do is I wanted to drive to Rochester to share that with Ron. And the ring thing that really sticks out in my heart, other than my wife, Ron was the only one that wept when he knew that I had come to the Lord. And from that moment, from every moment, I think, since I met him, that he captivated my attention. He had captivated. I wanted to hear what he had to say because he was speaking the words of God, and I wanted to hear the words of God. And I'm a country boy. I really am. I was thinking about the country mouse and the city mouse. You read those stories, right? And I think Rochester probably is not a town, right? It's a little bigger than a town. Yeah, the town we come from now is about 2,500 people in south central Pennsylvania. But Rochester is a city. And I think about the country mouse and the city mouse. And I think about being a country guy. The farm that I grew up on was on a dirt road and back in. You didn't see many people at all. And one thing I know, and I got a few pictures. We're going to try to work with the sound guys back here to show you some pictures. I think we're going to do it. The next one. And one thing that I know on the farm, as I would say at New Life, push the button. So it's barbed wire. And I don't know if you know what barbed wire is. I'm assuming that you do, but I thought I'd bring a picture anyway, just to, I don't know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? So a picture of barbed wire, and you took barbed wire and you would make a fence, push the button again, and you would make a fence, right? And the barbed wire was supposed to be uncomfortable for the animals to push up against so they would keep them where they needed to be. And so we would take the barbed wire and we would string it along between the upright posts and we would secure it there, encompassing the area where we wouldn't want the animals to stay. I mean, that seems logical to me. We did that over and over and over and over and over. Another thing, and I'm going to marry these two things together in just a minute, but another thing that the country folk do is we have hay rides. I don't know if you've ever been on a hay ride or not. And a hay ride is where you take a tractor and you hook a wagon to it and you throw some hay on it, and it's kind of like a party on wheels. Right? And it's usually done in the fall because farmers don't have time to be out late during the summer because they're busy. So sometime in the fall, after the harvest is in, we have a kind of a party on wheels. They're very common. I don't know if they're common in Rochester, but northern Pennsylvania, they were common. And so one time, the local teenagers or the youth group was going to have a hay ride. And I was in my 20s, and I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. And all of a sudden, the leader of that youth group said, could you bring some entertainment to the hayride? And I knew what that meant. We're going to go along. It's after dark. A whole wagon full of teenagers, and we're going to spook it. This is what we're going to do. Some friendly frightness to them. So we had an elaborate plan planned out. That when they would go, we secured the path that they were going to be taking, and we along the way we would plan different things to kind of spook them. They had no idea we were out there. So the first thing that we were going to do, we were going to drop a dummy, a clothes full of leaves and just stuff, you know, and we were going to drop it on the wagon. That seems funny to me. I wasn't on the wagon, but that was funny to me. So I had the wagon was going to go up this one narrow little road, barely could get a car up it, and the trees hung out over perfect location to hang a dummy high in the tree. They couldn't see it. Of course, it's dark. And when the time was right, I would let go of the string that held him up there, and the string was up over in the edge of the hedgerow. Perfect location. So the timing was right, and at that moment, I dropped the dummy. Perfect hit. I knew from the screams that come from the wagon. I'm terribly excited, and I'm kind of proud of my success. And once again, I hit the bullseye, you know. And now the next thing I needed to do is I needed to get up. I needed to go out to the field, and I needed to navigate myself to the top of the mountain. I needed to get in a vehicle and run ahead to the next location where we were going to entertain them. So I dropped the dummy. I got up. Remember, it's pitch black outside. And I start and I run to the field with everything I got. and about 50 to 75 feet, push the button, guess what I run into? A barbed wire fence. Full out sprint. Now this guy can't do very much of a full out sprint. It's kind of a lumbering along. But a full out sprint in the middle of the dark, I hit a fence. Now my top half did not stop. Yeah, that's what I said. My bottom half stopped. So now you can picture it. Now I am on the fence from about waist down, and I'm up on the fence. My head is on the ground now, and I am stuck to the fence. I was caught. I was hurting, but I still needed to move ahead. Something still lied before me that I needed to accomplish. I could not just lay there and moan and groan. Although I wanted to. My jeans were bearing evidence of the barbed wire, and so was my skin, as I could feel the blood going down to my knees. I was caught. I was hurting, but I could not stay there. I was caught. I was hurting, but I needed to move ahead. Have you ever felt that way in life before? Just going along the way you're supposed to be doing. Just doing the things you're supposed to be doing. Wham! Into a fence. Upside down. Caught in a fence. Caught, hurting, but still needing to be moving ahead. Some of you may be in that barbed wire fence tonight. Some of you have been in the fence. And some of you know someone who is in the fence. I usually have one of these things I can carry around. So I'm kind of a... They give me like a music stand at New Life, and I just kind of move it wherever. It's kind of a movable pulpit. Some of you are in that fence. Some of you know someone is in that fence, and some of you know because you still got the scars on your thighs from running into that fence. But you cannot lay there, caught and hurting, but you need to move forward. Because life still is going on. You don't feel like it. You don't know if you can. The fences in our lives, as I work with the individuals at New Life, I see the things that are fences, the same type of fences that are in my life. They wake up one morning and their spouse decides it's over. They are diagnosed with an illness. Their child makes a bad choice. Or maybe you've lost your job, or you are in an accident, or maybe the addiction rears its ugly head again. And it's back in your life. Maybe an ex just won't leave you alone. Maybe an old mistake keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. Something is the fence. Something's got you. A poor financial choice of the past. Just a broken down car. You ever been just going along and all of a sudden, good, good, good. You say, man, that's a good day. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, oh, I'm in the fence. But I got to continue to go. I got to move forward. Friends that let you down, you've got to go home and there's a hornet's nest. You got to go to work and it's a hornet's nest. There's fear and there's frustration. You find yourself running into something that's got a hold of you, that's grabbing you. It's got you caught. But laying there is not an option. You've got to get up. You've got to move forward. How do we do that? Psalm 118 says this. There's going to be some of the scripture on there. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And if you're reading from the King James or the New American Standard, it says, his mercies, which we spoke about already tonight. His mercies, his love endures forever. And the next verse says this, let Israel say, his love endures forever. As a matter of fact, let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. No, everybody that fears the Lord, let them say, his love, his mercies endure forever. Amen. But the first three verses are the end of the psalm, really. How do you get there? Verse 4 says this. Verse 5, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. In my anguish, and the word means anguish, in my tied up, caught state. In that anguish, in that moment when I've got my legs up on a fence and my head is on the ground. In that moment when I can feel that barbed wire poking into my life. In that moment when my soul is hurting. In that moment when my heart is on fire and my anger is rolling and my mind doesn't know what to do. In that moment, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. Remember, we're going to get to verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4. But you got to go through the psalm before you get there. And the psalmist says, and wait a minute, before you read this, because I don't want to start in my anguish, I want to start out with the end, because I want you to know the end's there. But you got to go through the process to get to the end. And there is a tying up. And there is a binding. And there is fences in this world. And you are going to get caught in the fence. If you have never been in a fence, hang on, you're going to get in one. Because life is full of fences. Life is full of things that are going to try to encapsulate you and grab you and put you on the ground. And you can lay there and you can moan and you can groan and you can let life go by. Or you can say, in my anguish, I cry out to the Lord. Now, nothing. I am still upside down. And say, God, I am upside down. In my anguish, I'm crying out to you. I need your mercy. In a tight spot, in that binding in my soul and in my heart, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Setting me free. And as we unfold the psalm, we're going to find out one thing. He ain't out yet. But he's going to be free inside before he gets out. He's going to free you in before he takes you out. At New Life, we go, woo, when we do that. And all God's people say, when you say amen, maybe somebody will go, woo, that's what we do. And I know some of the guys, some of the guys at New Life are just getting into that. And I go, woo. I can hear them back there, and all of a sudden, just starts roaring. Because he's going to free you in before he frees you from. Don't think because you're not freed from, you can't be freed in. He's going to do something inside before he does something outside. And he wants to do something inside. He hears the cry of the psalmist. I am upside down on a fence. He hears the cry of the psalmist. He hears the cry of his children. We're able, we're free, we're able to think, we're able to pray. And then verse 6 says, look at what verse 6 says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? All of a sudden, the Lord starts to answer inside the situation. And the first thing he says is, the Lord is with me. The Lord's doing something. He hasn't set me up yet. He hasn't taken me off the fence yet. But there's something going on inside of me. He hasn't fixed my car yet. He hasn't dealt with my kids yet. He hasn't dealt with this situation yet. But there's something going on inside of me. He's moving. Job says it this way, Job 9, push the button. Here, though one wishes to dispute him, he could not answer him, God, one time out of 1,000. God can ask you 1,000 questions, you ain't got the answer to any of them. One thing I'm learning in my walk with the Lord, he's a whole lot smarter than I am. And he said, I'm crying out to that God. I don't care if I can answer his questions. I want him in this situation with me. I want somebody that knows all the answers in the situation with me. I want that Lord, that God. The Lord is with me. This is the Lord is with me. Push the button again. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? That's who I want on my team. When you mess with God, you're going to get yourself in hot water. And I want him as my dad. I can remember as a kid, we go down to Corning, New York That was the big city, baby. I'll tell you, from an eight-year-old who went from Tioga County, where there's 20,000 people in Tioga County, we'd go down and see my grandmother. She lived in an apartment. I couldn't fathom an apartment. I was like, how in the world can you live in multiple stories? Don't you own underneath you type of deal? And I'm out playing, and I'm like, there's some kids out here, and hey, want to play? No, I don't think they want to play. They got kind of nasty with me. They were going to put the whoopings on me, and I thought they were going to, and I thought they could. And I mustered every bit of strength that I could muster. And I stood straight up to them, and I said, you better get away or I'm going to get my dad. That's what we need to say. Because my dad is in this situation. Because he moves mountains without their knowing it, or he can blow them out of the water. He can move something, they don't even know it, or he could go, and they're gone. He's the one getting into the situation with the psalmist. This is the God. This is the God. Not some puny, Americanized, weak God that only shows up on the weekend. This is the God who is showing up in this guy, upside down in the fence, at dark, all by himself, on the edge of a woods. In pain, bleeding, but he knows he can't stay there because he's got a job to do. He's got to get up. He's got a family to take care of. He's got a job to go to. He's got responsibilities. He's got a worship of God to do. I can't stay down here, God. Come into my situation and free me in before you free me from. Push the button. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. Come on now. I've known some powerful men in my life that can say, you do this and you do this and other men just do it. But I never met a man who said, star quit shining and it quit shining. He alone stretched out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Push the button. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion and the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Woo! That's the God who's showing up inside the situation. You may be in upside down the fence, but your God is there with you. And he's going to do something. And he's going to do something in your life. Job knew who he was. Do you realize tonight that that God is not only in the house, but that God's in your situation? The passage continues like this, and verse 6, the first half again. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Fear runs in the presence of God. I always think, I get this picture when Jesus is touching the people with leprosy, that leprosy couldn't get out of them fast enough. That leprosy was fleeing the holiness of God. That leprosy could not stand in the presence of God. Fear cannot stand in the presence of God. When God starts to come in and he starts to permeate your soul, fear's got to get out. Frustration's got to get out. Pain is going to get out because God's going to replace it. God is replacing it with himself. I want to be that confidence that God is in my life. I want to be a Noah who knew that God, no matter what was going on, that God had given him a task, that God was going to do it, no matter who was mocking him, no matter what was going on. I want to be a Moses. They're men like you and me, empowered by an extraordinary God who was going to do amazing things in your life. Gideon, he spoke the words into Gideon from behind Gideon. He says, oh, mighty warrior. And Gideon says, who are you talking to? Don't you know who I am? I'm a nobody. God says, I'm not looking at you just who you are. I'm looking at you and I together. Teamed up together. Someone upside down the fence with a powerful, mighty, loving, gracious, merciful God along beside him. And I want to do amazing things. He said, I want to do amazing things. Fear runs from the presence of God. Why? Because verse 7, the Lord is with me, he is my helper. See, not only is God standing there with you, he's involved with you. Right. See, God is omnipresent. You can't take that away from him. Right? God is everywhere. And just lately, I shared with Lisa earlier, just lately I started to realize, not only in space here, but in time. That's a concept that my mind just hasn't wrapped around yet. And I spend time pondering that thought. But God is omnipresent. You can't take that away from God. It doesn't matter if you like it or you don't believe it. It's true anyway. But you always don't know he's here, do you? You need to experience. You need to know his presence. You need to know that he's got something for you. You gotta experience him. He wants to do something. He wants to reach in your life. And Psalm 23:3 says this, he restores my soul. See, now he's doing something inside. He hasn't freed you from yet, but he's freeing you in. And he's doing something inside of you. He's knitting your soul back together because your soul's got a hurt in it. Your soul's got some pain in it. Your soul needs a touch. And he said, I'm going to restore that soul. I'm going to do a work in your life. Right here, while you're upside down in this fence, I'm going to do a work in your life right now. I'm going to put your soul back together. You're right. Psalm 18:35 says, your right hand sustains me. I'm going to start doing something inside of you, and you're going to start feeling it. Because I'm going to restore your soul, and I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to start breathing into you. And the passages go on like this. Flip the button. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He's still upside down on the fence. I'm telling us, he's still upside down on the fence. But God's doing a work in his soul. God's sustaining him. And God's pouring strength in him like he's never had before. Push the button. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit right into your inner man or woman. He wants to do a work. He doesn't just want to free us. He wants to restore us. He wants to sustain us. He wants to strengthen us, not out of something that this closet over here. You go to our pantry at the house and you're like, oh man, there's like four choices for dinner. But when you go to the pantry of God, whoo, it's deep. You can get in that pantry and walk around. And he says, you know, I don't want him to strengthen you just out of the ordinary human pantry. I want him to do it out of God's pantry because he's got much more in his pantry than you ever had in your pantry. He's got stuff you don't even know yet. He's got way more than you think you need. Don't be thinking you need something. Let God do the thinking. You just be the receptor. Yeah. Paul says, I want you to go. I want the God to go to his storage house, and I want to bring something out because your soul needs sustaining and your soul needs restoring and you need strength, and he's going to open your soul up and he's going to pour it inside of you. All while you're laying upside down on the fence. Woo! God, can you just free me from the fence? He said, if I did, you wouldn't stand here so I could sustain you. Yeah. And that bleeding come from your legs is not your problem. It's a soul, and I want to get into your soul. So I'm going to take this opportunity while you're upside down. When you finally shut up long enough, when you finally sit down long enough, when you're finally talking to me. I had a lady tell me one time, man, my come down with cancer. Boy, did I tell God. I told him this and I told him this and I told him this. She said, what do you think about that? And I said, at least you were talking to God. Because he's the one who wants to sustain you. He's the one who wants to restore you. He is the one who can move a mountain without even knowing it. Or he can blow it out of the water. He is the one that wants to do that work in your life. He is the one who wants to strengthen you. Look what he says in the last half of 7, verse 7 to 118 now. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Woo! Come on now. Whole different ball of wax now. You know why? Because he's standing up now. His soul's got something going on inside of it. The strength is starting to take over. He's still in, but he's getting freed from. He's still in, and freedom in, but yeah, he's yet to be freed from. But he's starting to look at what's around him. He's starting to look at the fence. He said, you know what, fence? You ain't so tough after all. I heard a guy say one time, and it really stuck. He said, will you stop telling God how big your problems are and start telling your problems how big your God is? God knows your problems. Your problems don't know your God. You better watch out or I'm going to get my dad. Go ahead and get him. That problem can't stand in the presence of God. And God's going to do some amazing things. I know Cheryl walked through cancer a few years ago. We prayed and we anointed. We expected God to heal. He did not. He let her walk through the pool of Siloam. But every step of the way, as God was freeing her from, he was freeing her in, inside of her. The confidence that we're growing. What we learned through that journey was second to none. Will we order cancer again? No. Will we trade what we learned in our souls that were strengthened and the sustaining that came and the strength that came? Will we trade it? No, because it's not tradable. He began to look at his problems with a set of new eyes. He began to look at his problems through God's eyes. He began to tell his problems about his God rather than God about his problems. In verse 8, which is the in some translations is the middle of the Bible. Psalm 118:8 is the middle of the Bible. It says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Now there's a conclusion. He said, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what else is going to go on here. I'm standing up beside this fence. But I know one thing already. I know one thing already. It's better to trust in God than anything else. And verse 9 says, is it better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses? In the government? In man's way? Man's way is not going to get it done. Man's way is not going to solve your problems. Man's way is not going to happen. You can't apply for a big enough loan. You can't apply for anything. You can't. Man has not got the solution. Your God is standing beside you. He is the mighty God who wants to sustain you, who is sustaining you, who is strengthening you, who is restoring your soul. He said, yes, trust in me. I've got it. I know you're caught. I know you're hurting. And I know you got to continue to move forward. And you're going to move forward like you've never moved forward before. Because your problems aren't going to have you upside down anymore. Because I'm sustaining you. Because I'm walking with you. We continue in the passage. Psalm 118. Now the battle. He's still standing next to the fence. But now look at him. All nations surround me. Oh yeah, broken car. One of the guys that come to the Lord a few years ago at New Life. He had a fear of being sick, of vomiting. I don't know where that come from, but he's in his 40 years old and he had the fear of that. And that would always bind him. It would always lock him down. If he felt that urge coming on in any way, if he felt his stomach getting sick, it would just lock him up. And we prayed and we prayed. A couple of us prayed around him. And I can remember his testimony. He said, one night I went into the bathroom. He said, I was so sick and I began to throw up. He said, I threw up. He said, only thing I could think of is this. Is that all you got? And he threw up again. Brilliant, he says. Is that all you got? And he said, I threw up several times and I haven't thrown up since. And no more will I be afraid of throwing up. All the nations surround me, but the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. There's a new confidence in this guy. In the name of the Lord. in the dependence on God, in His grace and in His power, which is on me, I will cut them down. I will mow them over. They are nothing compared, not to me, but to God. They're going down. What's Zerubbabel say? What are you before me, O mighty mountain? Level ground. I will. He's still in it. He hasn't mowed everything down yet, but he's confident that God is doing it. Look in verse 11. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. Is that all you got? In verse 12, they swarm around me like bees, but they die out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. Let me tell you something. Don't underestimate your problem, but don't underestimate your God. Your problems are big, but nothing compared to your God. When you're in them alone, you're going to be upside down on the fence for the rest of your life. But when your God is in there with you, they don't have a chance. Because God is going to run blocker for you. Because God is going to strengthen you. Because God is going to sustain you. Because God is going to His storehouse and He's pouring out a bunch of stuff and He's going to pour it onto you. And you're going to look at your problems and say, you know what? They're mighty. They're going down. Because nothing's going to keep me at the bottom of this fence. Because I'm going to move forward with my God. Look at verse 13. I was pushed back and about to fall. I was pushed back, about to fall. I almost lost it. I almost stayed at the bottom of the fence. But the Lord helped me. But the Lord breathed into me. God is my strength and I did it. Praise God, I did it. He did it. He did it in me. He did it through me. Verse 14 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And I don't think it's only the beginning when He forgives our sins and sets us free. I think salvation comes every time you hit a fence. Every time someone in the Bible hit a fence, they give God a new name. When Abraham hit a fence when he's going to sacrifice his God, and God showed up, he said, Jehovah Jireh, God provides. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In the middle of the situation, he was seeing God at work. Verse 15 says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Amen. I love exclamation points in the Bible. I think that's God saying, woo! Have some of that, fence. My God's doing a mighty thing. Look, he says in verse 16, the Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Exclamation point. That's good stuff. How about it? Whew. I usually have a Bills towel that I wipe my sweat on. I'm a Bills fan. So it's not too popular in the Pittsburgh area, but... Look at verse 17. I will not die, but live. I will not die, but live. I know this fence has the ability to take the life out of me, but I will not die. Because God is with me. Because the supernatural that permeates the natural through the victory into the shepherd's heart, He's beside you tonight. And He wants to permeate you And he wants to permeate your situation. And he wants to show you his mighty hands. And he wants to show you his mercy. He wants to show you his grace. And I will, the last half of verse 17 says, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Get ready. Get ready, shepherd's heart. Get ready. Because there's going to be some proclamation done. Yeah. You know what they did on the 52nd day? After the 50 days of rebuilding the wall, they celebrated. Somebody better get ready to celebrate on the 52nd day after the 50. Because God's doing a mighty work. He's going to put things back together. The walls that you're facing, the fences that you're in now, they're going down. You're going to be set free from those things, and you need to bring that back. And you say, you know what? 49 days ago, I was in a fence. But my God did a mighty thing. And I will not die. I will live. Some of you are in a fence tonight, and you need to say, I will not die, I will live. I'm not too much of an old hymn guy because I don't know many old hymns. Because God saved me before I learned old hymns, many of them. Or after old hymns. But listen to this one. And I will try, I don't know if I'm going to sing it. I'm trying not to hurt you in any way. So, but I think you know it. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. How about it? I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today! Exclamation point. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Why? Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. And through all the fences that you're caught in. The day of his appearing will come at last. He's going to get you free. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Why? Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O believer in Christ. Christian means those who live in Christ. It's not an American is an American. Just because you're American doesn't mean you're Christian. A Christian lives one who lives in Christ. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King. For crying out loud, fences bow to the King. Because God exalted him to the right hand of himself. And he gave him a power and authority over everything. And when Jesus left this earth, he said, all authority has been given to me, and I'm going to give it to you. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who finds, none other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Whew. That's good stuff, isn't it? Wow. If you're in a fence, call out to him. If your neighbor's in a fence, go tell him about Jesus. If you've been in a fence and he's freed you, tell somebody about it. Can I pray for us today? Father God, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I wouldn't order a fence in my life, but I'm thankful for every fence that you put in my life and allowed to be there. Sometimes I think the enemy wants to put the fence there, and he does, just to mess with us. But in my fence, when the fence has got me all wrapped up, I'm going to cry out to you. And you're going to show up in my life. And you're going to restore me, and you're going to sustain me, and you're going to strengthen me. You're going to stand me up, and you're going to give me a new set of eyes. And I pray that you would give us all a new set of eyes at looking at that fence in our life. Father, I don't care if it's cancer, if it's a broken car, if it's an old way of life, if it's an addiction or whatever it is, rearing its ugly head. We need to introduce it to our God so it'll go down and free us. Because you came to this world to salvation to impart. I don't think if you freed me from sin that you want me to be caught in offense. Father, I want to give a word of testimony as you free us. I want to exalt your name. I want to sing your praises. And I want it to be done here at Shepherd's Heart as they drive through victory all the way from the supernatural permeating the natural. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.